Are you wondering why the rainforest is burning and what we can do about it? Find out on today's show, Amazon on Fire, starting right now.
Welcome to the Weird and Wacky Planet's Nature Just Got Real podcast for kids. Join KB Carr, author of the Weird and Wacky Planet series, with Chuck Darwin, Tito, and Captain Jack, as they bring you the real skinny on what's really going on in the natural world. And now, here's your host, KB Carr.
Hi, I'm KB Carr. This interview is with Chelsea Raich, the director of Friends of the Rainforest, and this is a part one of two shows. So I just want to make you aware of that. I also want to make you aware that I've had a horrible cold, so I sound terrible, and Chelsea had no external mic, so the sound isn't great. But I felt like the information was important enough, so I went ahead with the interview, and so bear with us. I'm sorry about the sound, but please enjoy Amazon on Fire, part one.
Hello, 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 or maybe I should say hola, since we are discussing the rainforest today. And today my guest is Chelsea Raich, and she is the executive director of Friends of the Rainforest, and I'm so excited to have you here today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, so tell us about Friends of the Rainforest and what it is that you do.
So Friends of the Rainforest, we've been around for almost 20 years, and we were actually started by a teacher who was very passionate about the rainforest, and she visited Costa Rica and just fell in love with the rainforest. So she started doing a lot of work to protect it, and since then we've really grown. So we do three programs. We have our education program, where we go into schools, but we also provide curriculum and lessons that people can do no matter where they are in the world. We do eco tours. So we bring a lot of student groups, so mostly schools, and they stay in the rainforest in a field station. You design your own research, and we have a PhD naturalist who's there with you to help you collect data and make sense of what you're seeing. And then you get to present that back to your class. And then we also do granting. So we are all donation funded, and we receive donations, and then we grant those donations to organizations that are actually working to protect the rainforest.
Nice. Oh, I would love to go on an eco tour.
Oh, it's wonderful.
These days, maybe we could take a film crew or something and, mm-hmm. and do a little something with that. That would be super fun.
Yes.
So you, what is the children's Eternal Rainforest, and how did that come about?
So the Children's Eternal Rainforest in Costa Rica is located in the Central Valley, and it's the largest private rainforest reserve. It is about 56,000 acres, and what makes it kind of special is that it's in the middle of a lot of smaller reserves in Costa Rica. So it has a lot less border that they have to protect because they have a kind of a buffer around them. And that's really unique because it makes it easier for them to patrol hot spots or areas that they know their people come in to try to poach or log or mine or anything like that. So
I was
really
gonna say, yeah, let's talk about that. Why would it need to be protected? So,
right.
So what are the things that you're protecting it from, and how are you protecting it?
So a lot of people think if you want to save the rainforest, you buy a piece of land and you say, this is for the rainforest. And while that's a start, it doesn't actually protect it. So you have to remember that there's a lot of people that grew up using the land for different things, and they don't necessarily understand the environmental impact of going in and cutting down trees or poaching animals or even mining. A lot of people pan for gold and they use mercury, which actually hurts the environment. So because of those things, we have to have the guards and we have to have the education, and we have to do a lot on the ground in those countries to kind of help people understand why preserving the rainforest is very important, because it's the people in those countries that really have to do the work.
Right, for sure. Okay. And so you go into two schools to educate mm-hmm. students about the rainforest.
Right.
And I think I read on one of your site that there was that some schools had cut rainforest education.
Yes.
It just blew my mind. It was just like, what? Why would they do that?
Yeah. So we go into mostly St. Louis area schools. That just because that's where we're located. But actually, we have a board member now in the San Diego area. So she's gone into a couple schools out there. We also have a curriculum online that anybody can download, and that's free to use. And it has lessons that you can use in your classroom. We also have educational articles. So if someone is interested in the rainforest, but you don't really know where to start, go to our website, go to friendsoftherainforest.org, and click on educational resources. And you'll get a whole bunch of articles and really cool facts about the rainforest.
Oh, that's great. Also, yeah. we'll have that link in our show notes too.
Yes.
So teachers or homeschoolers can go in and utilize that resource. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's resource. And the second part of your question, I forgot already.
Well, you go into other schools. So that was.
Right. You had asked about cutting tropical education. I don't understand it because I love the rainforest. But I think it has a lot to do with all of the new standards everybody is trying to meet and all of the testing. There's more and more testing now. So it's not as much about are we learning valuable things and more about are we learning what's on the test. And tropical ecology, rainforests really only cover about 5% of the world's surface. So it kind of gets, you know, thrown to the side. We tend to focus more on what our local ecology is, and that's very important. But when we're looking at us as global citizens, we really need to think about all of the variety that we see in all the different ecosystems.
Agreed. All right. And so you do go into other schools besides just St. Louis. So that program could be expanded in the future.
Absolutely. Yep.
That. Perfect. That'd be so awesome. If you ever come to Michigan, let me know because I want to go and check it out.
Actually, we've talked about going up to Chicago too. If we had, you know, a couple of schools that wanted to do it, we'd make the trip. We'd, you know, cram them all in and make it happen. So if there's any teachers out there, homeschool groups that say, hey, we have, you know, four classes we want you to come visit, then.
For real.
We'll see what we can do.
Let me know if you're in my area. I'd love to come and participate or just watch what you're doing. That's super cool. All right. So what kind of activities do you do in a classroom? So when you go into a classroom and present your program, I assume it's a program, do you have activities that kids can do or what is it?
So we have lessons for everybody pre-K through high school. And most of those are on our website. And we let the teacher decide what works in your unit and what in your classroom with your students, because our job is to get kids excited about the rainforest.
Right.
Their job is to meet the standards and
everybody.
So we actually have put on our website the standards, the NGSS, which most teachers are using now. So our lessons, you can click through and see, does this meet the standard I need to meet? We tried to take that work out of it for the teachers, but we have a lot of fun new lessons. One that's not on there, actually, we have our animals, mm-hmm. and some of these guys you can actually get on our website and take them home. Mm-hmm. But this lesson is about building their habitat. So you get a little card that has clues about your animal, and you have to find him, and then you have to find, or her, and then you find, what does my animal eat, and where does my animal live, and
is your animal endangered?
Clues about what it looks like. So the adaptations of that animal. Mm-hmm. So we have about 20 of these different animals. And so they get to, one, you get to hold a really cute fuzzy sloth.
But you kind get of partial to that.
Right. You get to learn about all of these really cool animals, and you get to share that with the group, all while you're doing something interactive. And that's just a fun, you know, they're fun. But we also have this little guy. This is Botley. He's our robot. And he is a coding robot. So kids get a chance to learn how to do some basic coding. And they get to, they have a map, basically, and they have to get Botley to the resources and to the animals. So they use their coding, and they put in their code for Botley, and he makes his way to the resources and the animals. So we have everything from engineering to a felt board. You know, it's just whatever you want to do, we can do it.
Oh, awesome. I love it. I love it, because we are on the same page there about education, and the resources on the planet, and really giving kids information that they need to make sound decisions in the future.
Right.
I hope you enjoyed part one of Amazon on Fire. We went through why the rainforests are burning, and part two, we're going to address what can we do about it. So stay tuned for that. And now a word from our sponsor.
Have you ever seen a dragon covered in fingernails? How about a mermaid who vacuums the ocean floor every day? Or a pocket Dracula no bigger than your thumb? You can meet these animals and more in the book Weird and Wacky Endangered Creatures 1, part of the Weird and Wacky Planet series by KB Carr. Look for them wherever books are sold and get your flippers on your own coffee.
Now here's Chuck Darwin with our Weird and Wacky Word of the Week.
It's time for the Weird and Wacky Word of the Week.
The word of the week is deforestation, which means the act of cutting down or burning all the trees in an area, usually for logging or farming purposes. The opposite word is reforestation, which of course means planting trees in an area previously populated with trees. Used this way, the words are nouns. To use the words as a verb, we would say that regions have been deforested or reforested. See how many times you can use either of these words in a sentence today and impress someone with your genius. Until next week, I am Charles Darwin. Cheerio.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate that. Now we're going to turn to Ask the Captain, where you ask my dog anything you want. Take it away, Jack.
Got a question? Ask the Captain.
Ahoy, mateys. This week's question comes from Jay in New Orleans, Louisiana. Jay asks, what's the most poisonous animal in the world? Well, Jay, I thought the answer was mommy when she cooks. I was wrong, but just barely. The answer is the golden poison dart frog, also called the poison golden arrow frog. It's one of 100 poison dart frog species, and it lives on the coast of Colombia. An adult frog has enough poison to kill 10 people, even though they are no bigger than a paperclip, at around 1 to 2 inches. The indigenous people of Colombia have used their poison to hunt for centuries. Poison dart frogs live for about 10 years in the wild, and the only predator they have is a snake that is resistant to their poison. But their habitat is in a tiny plot of rainforest, and they are in danger because of deforestation in their area. Their tiny plot of land gets tinier and tinier. Not great news for an animal that is also tiny. On an unrelated, almost unrelated note, did you know that a group of frogs is called an army? I have never seen a bunch of frogs hanging out together, though, so I don't think we have too much to worry about. Unless they learn to make their own poison darts. Yowzers, am I right? Hope that answers your question, Jay. If any of you want to ask me something, just email it to naturejustgotreal@gmail.com. I'm always listening. This is Captain Jack, signing off till next week. Bye-bye!
Thank you, Jack. Remember, you can email Jack and ask her any question you want, and she will give you an answer. I can't guarantee it's going to be the right answer, but I will do our best. And now it's time for this week's Creature Feature with Tito. Go ahead, Tito.
And now, the Weird and Wacky Weekly Creature Feature.
This week's weirdo is the pink Amazon River dolphin. A pink dolphin, can you believe it? This dolphin is a freshwater dolphin that lives in the river systems of the Amazon rainforest. the differences between the marine dolphins, or those that live in the oceans, and these guys is that instead of a dorsal fin, they just have a ridge, and their beaks are much longer to accommodate their 140 teeth. That's a lot of toothers, just saying. Also, did I mention they're pink? That difference is hard to miss. Scientists think the bright color comes from capillaries being close to the surface of their skin, kind of like when you humans blush. There used to be 5 species of river dolphins, but the other 4 are extinct. These guys are endangered, but they might have been saved from extinction because the native people believe they possess magical powers. And it's bad luck to kill one, so good on them, I say, huh? They use echolocation to find stuff just like other dolphins, and they have a 40% larger brain capacity than humans do. That's wicked smart. But my favorite thing about pink Amazon River dolphins is that they use those 140 teeth to eat piranha. Piranha! Ha! Take that, you crazy pointy tooth nut jobs! If these guys are tough enough to eat piranha, they can rock the color pink all day long. I wouldn't tease them about it if I were you, you know what I'm saying? I'm Tito, and I'll see yous all next week.
Thank you. That wraps up today's show, Amazon on Fire Part 1. The question of the week is, do you think that rainforest education is valuable in schools? And you can answer that question by leaving a comment here on YouTube or on iTunes. You can email it to naturejustgotreal@gmail.com, or you can call us and leave a message at 616-259-6742. Thanks so much for listening. You have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
That wraps up the show for today. Thank you to our sponsor, Weird and Wacky Planet. And thank you for listening. Thank you for caring, and thank you for sharing. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Let us know if you do, and we might mention you on the show. Until next week, go have an adventure in your neighborhood.